God has been dealing with me about peace and in this time so much. And I just think the things that he's shown me, especially in the last few days, I think are very needed. I know some of you, there's some of you there that live alone, and there's some of you that, you know, have big families and stuff like that. So regardless of where you come from, this all this stuff, I believe, will help you. It'll be a blessing to you. So I'm kind of, there's kind of a pseudo title for this. I'm calling it Be at Peace. And it's just to help you to know that it's time for us to, you know, to be at peace, that this is a time of peace, that God has given us peace even in the midst of storms. And we reflect back and we think of Jesus being on the, you know, in the back of the boat when there was a storm and he was sleeping. And that's the ultimate example of peace. And so in this storm, in some of the, there's different storms that come out of the storm. You know, there's storms of loneliness. There's storms of, just frustration. There's, you know, loss of jobs for some people. There's all kinds of things that people are dealing with. But we have to believe and stand strong anyways. But the number one thing I think that we need to focus on right now is peace. And that's only going to come if we truly trust God, which I believe we're a church that teaches that. Amen. And so we're going to start just in Job. Have you turn to Job 22. Not necessarily a book that we preach out of a lot, but there's wisdom found, of course, in every scripture. And in Job 22, in verse 21, I'll give you just a second to get there. There's a scripture that just really speaks out to me. And it says here, verse 21, that's Job 22, 21. It says, "Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you." I'm also going to read this to you guys in the Amplified. It says, acquaint now yourself with him. Agree with God and show yourself to be conformed to his will. And be at peace. By that you shall prosper and great good shall come to you. Praise God. God's will for us, no matter what. Now we know that Job, the whole book of Job, is basically written in the greatest trial that this man had ever seen, and the greatest trial that he was ever going to see. And in the midst of this, he's talking, it's talking here about this, and the peace of God is brought up as the most important thing to focus on. And the peace of God, first of all, is not going to come unless you know that what comes out of the peace of God. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how to get in the peace of God, stay in the peace of God, because I know that's probably a question on a lot of your minds. And if it isn't, it will someday. Amen. But these are some things that you have to understand. And I'm going to put a focus tonight on our home lives. Okay. Our home lives being, whether you're single and you live at home or whether you live at home with a family. I love my family greatly. My family is the most important thing to me. But we all know that when we have times of prolonged closeness and close quarters, that sometimes that can cause friction, that can cause different things to happen, even things that you didn't even necessarily, might not even equate to this specific problem, but there's issues that can arise in that time. And what it is the devil's trying to get in and stir up people to try to get in out of that place of peace and get into a place of strife, because the devil knows what I'm about to say to you, maybe more than most Christians know, and that's that your home life will be the foundation on which God will build absolutely everything in your life. Your home life is the foundation. And what that means is how you are at home. You know, we can come to church and we can put on pretty smiles. We can see people in public and we can put on pretty smiles. But we all know that when we go home, glory to God, when we're at home, that's when our true selves come out, when no one else is around, when you don't think that you're looking. Have you ever accidentally pocket dialed somebody and you saw that you left them a real long message? And the first thing you think about is, oh God, what was I talking about? Or, oh God, what have I been saying? You know, and I think that's happened to all of us. It's not something I've had many times where I've pocket dialed my pastor. And I've left them a 5-6 minute message, and I'm like, "Oh Jesus, what did I say?" You know, just wondering. But praise the Lord, glory to God. God is good, and He's forgiving. But we know when we're at home, that's who we truly are. That's not to say that we're all fake, that if we're, you know, if we're, we're all fake if we're, you know, at church, but you know what I'm saying, that it's a lot easier to let your hair down, so to speak. And so we do. And so home life is the foundation. And so we have to protect that. And that's what the devil's after right now. Amen. And so if you don't protect your home life, if you don't protect those feelings, if you don't watch those feelings that you have towards other people in your home, if now, of course, I'm speaking to people that live with more than just themselves, you know, you have to, I mean, because if you're by yourself, you're arguing with yourself, you got to work that out your own, you know, that's just one thing. But if you're living with another person, it is so important that you keep yourself in a place of peace. And I want to give you a scripture, because I know there's a question. Well, what if some people have, I know we have several people that have spouses that don't come to church, and they live a little bit differently. Some are not even believers, and so they're living very differently. You know, so what do we do in those cases? Well, Romans 12:18, I just want to have you write it down, look at it later, but I'll read it to you. It says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Hallelujah. And so as much as it's your part, that's what you got to do. Christians, now I'm going to speak to you specifically if you're in a home with Christians. Some of this may seem a little strong, but I'm just telling you, the Lord has just really been stirring my heart this way, that we have to protect the home. Christians, no more excuses. If you live with other Christians and they go, you all go to church, you just got to figure out how to get it right.
That's right.
At all, as much as it's up to you, and if you're a Christian, it should always be up to you. Mm-hmm. We are not powerless. We can make it happen. And the way that we're going to have to do it is by walking in love, the love of God. And the number one way that you walk in the love of God is by submitting yourselves to one another.
Right.
You do your best to submit yourself to one another. And listen, if there's, you know, if you're a husband and wife that are together, or even, you know, some of us, we have older children that live in the house, you know, and so we still, we have to learn to be able to submit to one another and have that peace, because you have to remember this: without the peace in your home, that the devil will, that will be an open door, an absolute open door for the devil to rob everything that God is trying to build in your life. And that's because God cannot operate, he cannot work in a place of strife.
Amen.
And so if you've had these things come against you, if you've had things like this come against you, first thing you need to do is submit it to God. And, you know, just put it before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, we've had some lack of peace here. And I maybe I don't even know what's going on. I'm sorry for my part. If I know what it is, you repent for it. And if you don't know what it is, you just say, Lord, if there's something I need to fix, reveal it to me. Otherwise, I'm just going to put this in your hands, and I'm going to do my best to walk in peace.
Yeah.
One thing that my wife and I use, if we have a little bit of intense fellowship, and yes, your pastors have times of intense fellowship. That's where, you know, it's a little bit more intense than just like high and happy and all that stuff. If you get, we have this kind of rule that we always can point ourselves back to. We want God's highest and best in our life, and we know it won't happen without peace. So we will do whatever we have to do to get it. If you and if you have a spouse that goes to our church, and they don't want to abide by that, well, then you let us know and we'll yell at them. But we, you know, this is a place where we have to protect this. We have to watch out for this, because the devil, and I know how it feels when the stress is around you, the devil comes in, he gives you every reason to look the other way. But you know that when things are good, you know exactly how it feels, and exactly that's what you want. And you know how God has worked in your life before. So focus on that. Now, man, this time is going by quickly. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians. And this is where the heart of this it was birthed out of, as I was studying the word. Actually, just yesterday, this is where it was birthed out of. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians. You remember all how to find 1 Thessalonians. Find 2 Thessalonians right before it. Amen. Thanks for the courtesy laugh, wife. Appreciate it. 1 Thessalonians 5. And praise God. And if you think it's easy to give a message to a computer screen, it's wholly different. But not that much weirder than giving a message to a church full of empty chairs. That's also interesting, yeah, too. Praise the Lord. But it does help knowing that you're all out there in the parking lot. Amen. Or at least on live stream. I know a bunch of you tune in and stuff. So 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to kind of go through the whole chapter. Hope you don't mind, but we'll start here. It says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. And what he's talking about is the end times. We are very definitely, there is no doubt we're living in the end times. But that doesn't mean, as we've been seeing lately in the Word, that doesn't mean that we get frustrated, that we get scared, that we just keep living in faith, because we know that our God is going to take care of us, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to go through to the other side. We're going to see the end. Our boat's not sinking in the middle, praise the Lord, even though the storms are raging. And brothers and sisters, let me just tell you, this kind of stuff will happen more and more and more. There'll be all kinds of things. Maybe it'll be different. Maybe it'll be different pandemics, but there'll be stuff that rises. But we're going to have to learn to just live knowing that God is good with the opposition, and that we're going to deal with the opposition, and we're going to still come through it. Yeah. Amen. But concerning the times and seasons, and this is some really interesting stuff here, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Mm-hmm. Amen. So in other words, that day is going to come as a surprise, right? Mm-hmm. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Of course, this is not talking about Christians. This is talking about the world. But it goes on to say, I love this in verse 4, it says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not or should overtake you as a thief. In other words, the brothers and sisters, we shouldn't be surprised by this stuff. It ain't going to overtake us. When Jesus comes back, we're going to be ready, because that's what we're working on, is preparing people to be ready. Amen. Amen. Verse 5, you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Now, I actually have this in my Bible. I have verse 5 highlighted as a life verse for me. And the reason I do is because this is a reminder to us. We are sons and daughters of the light. In other words, we don't move in the darkness. We don't act like darkness. We walk like the light. Yeah. We walk knowing where we're going. We walk with confidence. You know, it's just like that old story, walking through the house with the dark in the dark. You know, if you have kids with Legos, you all know that you walk very gingerly in the dark. But if you don't have any kids at home, or if you live at home by yourself, listen, you probably know where you left everything. And so you just move through the house like it's the light. But we are people that don't walk in darkness. And so we are going to be taken by surprise. We've been warned about this stuff. We know what's coming, but we know the end from the beginning, so we're not going to be moved. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. So let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So as we look at the scripture here, the first thing we got to know is sobriety is an absolute must for a Christian. Mm-hmm. And now, it does mean abstaining from wine, but it also means to be calm and collected and to be temperate. To be calm and collected in spirit is really what it means. Yeah. Calm and collected in spirit. In other words, our spirit is not grieved by what's, or moved by what's going on, that we're only moved by the direction of God, and that we're going to stay on track and all these things. And this is one of the first places that we, with this knowledge, is the first places that we can get ourselves in peace with other people. And that's that, because we know the outcome of not living in peace, which is so much worse. Not living in peace would be the equivalent of drinking poison. Wow. If you want to think of it like that. If you choose strife, I'm not saying if your spouse does, if your neighbor does, if your child does, if your friends do, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you and I, praise the Lord. If you choose strife, it's the same as popping the top off of a bottle of, what's some poison?
Poison.
Something that's strychnine, some rat poison, and chugging the bottle of rat poison. It's the same thing. It may not kill you that second, but I'm telling you, destruction is heading.
Yeah.
Is heading your way. And so you say, as much as it's up to me, I'm living peaceably at all times,
yeah,
with all men. Amen. As much as it's up to me. Sometimes choosing this road is not the fun way to go. I'm just going to tell you. Sometimes it's not the way that we want to do it. But we don't have another choice.
Yeah.
We have to do it if we want God's blessing. You know what I mean? We've got to choose it. We just got to say, you know what? and praise God, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And so, going on in this verse, though, it says, "Putting on the breastplate." You know, remember, the breastplate and armor, it protects the vital organs. All the vital organs are right here, your heart and everything else. And you put on the breastplate of faith and love. Faith and love are what carry us through. Faith and love will get you through every strife incident. Faith and love, you know, one of the things you can do if you're a spouse dealing with a spouse or a child or a friend or anything like that, it doesn't even have to be a spouse. But if you're dealing with somebody, one of the first things you do is after you've consecrated yourself and say, "Lord, I won't be out of peace with them." What will happen is you turn to God and you say, "Father, I just pray that you help them. Help them in whatever they need." And you just start releasing faith in that area. That is a great way of starting to walk in faith. And of course, that's the love road as well. And what the Bible tells us here is that protection comes upon us, and that's how we keep ourselves shielded from the things in this day, in the end times, and the things that are going to try to rob from us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. In verse 9, it says, and as a helmet that's going to protect your mind is the hope of salvation. Remember that you need to protect your mind, and the way that you're going to protect your mind is through the hope of salvation.
Yeah.
The expectation of, and salvation means deliverance, mm-hmm, preservation, and safety. So it's the expectation that you will be delivered, that you will be preserved, that you will be safe. Praise God. So if you have a job that's being attacked right now, your hope of salvation is that God will, no matter what the outcome is, God will supply for your family.
Yep.
He will supply for your life. He will supply for all the things that you need going forward, and you know that you're going to be just fine.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
Praise the Lord. For God did not appoint us to wrath. And this goes along with the message that I was preaching this weekend,
yeah,
I think in Corey, and I just love it. Praise God. Cause I wasn't even thinking of this verse when I was preaching that message, but God did not appoint us to wrath.
No.
He did not appoint us to suffer as the rest of the world does. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And we know that that's only obtained through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's an exciting thing. So we know we have the guarantee of preservation, yeah, deliverance, and safety.
That's right.
And that's what we have to go. We have to bring our minds when you start thinking wrong. Nope, Lord, I know that you preserve me, you deliver me, and you protect me.
Yeah.
That I'm safe, I'm healed, I'm set free. I have all that I need and above. See, you got to speak to yourself with those same words that the Bible uses. And when you do that, faith will rise up in you. And in those times when it is amazing to me how my wife and I have had times where we've had some in the past, we've had some pretty bad fights, but arguments and stuff. I'm just being honest with you. But at the same time, God has brought us through that because we are both willing that we've come back from them. We've held no grudges against each other, that we've moved on. We have literally gone from being an intense fellowship, very intense fellowship, to being absolutely in love and enamored with each other the next second because we both chose this. And so this is what you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, of course, I always tell the husbands, lead by example, you know, always be an example of love and humility in the home. I do this with my kids. If I know that I was wrong with my kids, and oftentimes I am, I'll apologize to them and say, "Hey, listen, I was wrong in this area. And I think my family knows this of me." Just be a person who is willing to do that and, yeah, say, "No, I'm always going to walk in love," okay, because you will cause the peace to come back into your home that way. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So no matter what we're doing, we need to live in that John 10:10. Amen.
Yep.
And then it goes on to say, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, build up one another, mm-hmm. just as you are also, just also as you are doing, or just as you are also doing. So this is what I'm doing to you. I'm edifying you. I'm building you up. We're going to need to do this with each other. Mm-hmm. You got friends. You see other friends on the screen, and you talk to each other, build each other up. And I'm going to tell you one of the number one ways to get yourself out of a bad mood or a bad bad attitude is to find somebody that needs to be built up and then build them up. Just start speaking God to them. Start speaking, yeah. even if you don't feel it for yourself, even if you feel like the biggest worthless piece of garbage on earth, just start building somebody else up and watch how fast it turns around. I'm just telling you,
yeah.
it's amazing. That's what I do every Sunday, to tell you the truth. Praise the Lord. I start preaching to you, and I just preach myself happy. Glory to God. And that's what we need to do, because I'm not a person who naturally looks at myself and likes me or likes what I do. But praise God. Hallelujah. He didn't care about any of that. He used me anyways. Amen. And he'll use you too. And so when we're almost done here, I promise. I think I'm trying to look for the time. Oh, we're doing good. Praise the Lord. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize. Oh, I'm going to skip over the next two ones because they're not that they're not important, but we'll just go to verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Oh, man,
yeah.
Yep. Our time is running out. It's letting me know.
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Praise the Lord. Be patient with all. So yeah. important. One of the greatest things that we can learn is patience with other people. Mm-hmm. It will help you see people the way that God sees them, knowing that not everybody has as much faith as you have. And there'll be a time when you'll find out you don't have as much faith as you thought you had, and you'll need somebody else's patience. Mm-hmm. And you'll be
happy.
Excuse me,
it.
You'll be happy you had it. Yeah, amen. Yeah. And that's what I ask of you. You know, I'm patient with you guys, but I ask you all to be patient with me too. I don't know everything. As things come up, I don't know everything naturally, what we're going to do. Sometimes I've had people sit down with me with a scenario. And when they sat down with me, I'm sitting there thinking, dear Jesus, how am I going to even answer this? But then by the end, the Lord always delivers me and gives me the message to give, you know? And so there's been times I've entered the pulpit, dear Lord, what am I going to say to them? Because I don't know. I don't have it, you know? And so it's the same thing. But God works that way with you guys as well, okay? Verse 15, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for both yourselves and for all. Oh, these last few scriptures here, I have them highlighted. Highlight them in your Bible. Go back to them. Verse 16, rejoice always. Mm-hmm. It deserves its own verse. I love that. Rejoice always.
Yeah.
You know, that's a way to start bringing yourself out of the trial. Start rejoicing.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel like it, but do it anyways.
Right.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Pray without ceasing. Have constant conversation with God. You know, don't make it a thing. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the natural. Sing praises to him. Worship God. Just lift him up. You know, when you're in trial, Lord, I know that you're good. And we need to remind each other of this. Husbands and wives, if you see your wife or your husband or your kids struggling, remind them of these things. Worship the Lord.
Yeah.
Start talking to them about how, just encourage them to worship. You know, when you know, it's so easy to be critical of one another. It's so easy to say, you know what? And a lot of times my wife is wrong. I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, there's just so many times where she's just missed it. And I just got a reminder, you know, worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Scott, I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. Glory. Praise the Lord. I'm just kidding. Of course, our wives are basically.
We'll have intense fellowship later.
They love it. The opposite, but we gotta encourage each other. We're all in the same, you know, we want the same outcome.
Yeah.
We all want it to be good and happy and joyful.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And there's no reason that we can't. But let's build each other up. Amen. And this is one of the things I miss about the local church. Because when I come in and I see your faces, well, praise the Lord. You know, it's like you always see the joy. And you know, I was talking to my sister Sue. And so one of the things I look forward to is, you know, hugging my sister Sue. Praise the Lord. And it's like now we haven't been able to do that. We're all missing that. Praise the Lord. But it's not going to be long. We're going to be back in the mix. We'll be doing that all again, you know. But it's encouraging, you know, to be around. But we're going to have to find ways of stirring that up with one another. And I'll just encourage you guys during the week. Call, you know, find one of these faces on the screen. Call them. You know, just reach out to them or text them or whatever and just say, hey, you know, God is good. He loves you today. And praise the Lord. I want to get through the end, though. praise the Lord. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Don't give thanks for everything, but in everything give thanks. There's a big difference between those two. Doesn't mean you got to be thankful for whatever disease you want to call this today, praise the Lord, or whatever they're calling it today. Doesn't mean you have to be thankful for it, but you can certainly thank God through it. Why? Because you know the outcome is good for you. You have the hope of salvation. And brothers and sisters, we're going through the other side. I'm just going to be honest with you. We're going to feel the intensity of this. We have felt the intensity of this. There's something about not being able to congregate together that will come against us. That's just a reality. It's not a lack of faith. It's just the truth of the word. But we are not going to allow that to take us out. So we're just going to have to stir ourselves up along these lines. Amen.
Amen.
And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. We're not a church that quenches the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. We don't despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, I want to point something out to you. Now, it says test all things and hold fast what is good. That doesn't mean none of us are going to be perfect. As your pastor, I'm not going to be perfect. But we test all things, and we're going to hold fast to those things that are good.
Right.
Sometimes we'll make a decision that, you know, I've made decisions before that have cost my family money. But you know what? God's so good, he'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. And so we don't fret about it. We don't fret about those things. Maybe you'll do something in your business, or maybe you'll do something in your job that will cost something, or in your family that will cost something. Don't fret about it.
Yeah.
I said don't fret about it. God is bigger than all that stuff.
Amen.
But the key to that is not just fretting, but you got to put that faith back into him and trust back in him, because if it doesn't go there, it will never get taken care of.
That's right.
Now, may the God of peace himself, remember the God, he calls himself the God of peace. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You can't get a bigger promise than that. Mm-hmm. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to keep going on. Again, if there's anything specifically at all, at any point that you guys need help with, or that you want a question to, you know, listen, I don't really have office hours right now. Not that I normally do anyways. We just kind of do things by the way that they're needed. Just reach out. I mean, the worst you can do is might have to wait till the morning to get an answer. You know, if you send a text, or you send a call, or you send an email, or however you do, you know, we're here for you. So, you know, I just want to encourage you guys, live in peace. Remember that, keep our minds on what's important.
Yes.
Encourage one another to live in peace. There is no excuse. Christians need to live in peace, and so edify one another with that. We are we are children. We have his DNA.
Yes.
We are children of God, and so we have to resemble him, but we're only going to resemble him by us choosing to. It's not hard. Living in peace is so easy once you realize the fruit of it. My wife and I have, and I know you will too. Of course, you see it in our church. We're choosing the high road, folks. We love you so much.
Yes.
We're here for you. We pray for you. We're going to the other side of this together. And again, if you need anything, please don't hesitate to reach out to us.